Okay. So let's just pray before we go into the message that the Lord would just really imprint it on our hearts the way he wants it to be imprinted. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence with us. And Lord, we just want to ask you that you will bless your word into our hearts, into our minds, Lord. And Lord, that you would brand your sufferings, the awful price you paid, Lord, your death and your resurrection, Lord, branded into our hearts and souls, Lord. And Lord, that this Holy Supper service would be even more special than the last one, Lord. We always say this, Lord, but make it more special. Make your sufferings more real to us, Lord. There's so much more that we need to understand about your agony, your sufferings, Lord, how you contorted in agony, Lord, and how you could have stopped it all, and you didn't for us. Lord, may you just imprint it in our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we would be branded with your sufferings. Make your word real to us in Jesus' name, amen. So many times during a Holy Supper service, we discuss the physical sufferings of Jesus during the scourging and the crucifixion. And this morning, I would like to concentrate on the reality that Jesus could have stopped all his suffering, taken out the nails, and he could have come down from the cross and healed himself. He could have stopped all his suffering, but he didn't. Try to imagine experiencing a near-death beating, the excruciating, unimaginable pain of hanging 6 hours on the cross, knowing that you have the power to stop this most awful suffering at any moment and not using your power to stop it. So Jesus was scourged, and then he's hanging 6 hours on the cross, had 6 hours to change his mind, had 6 hours with his power to come down from the cross, to make the nails come out of him, to heal all his excruciating bleeding wounds, and he doesn't do it. Think of how quickly we run to the medicine cabinet for a toothache. And Jesus' body was in extreme pain all over, not just the toothache. Think of the pain and the suffering that Jesus experienced having the power to stop it at any moment, but he wouldn't. Why? Because of us. We are the reason why he would not use his power to stop his incredible pain and suffering. Now you think of it, how many times did Jesus heal the sick? How many times did he heal us? He even raised the dead. So we certainly had the power to stop his suffering, to make those nails pop out of him, to heal all his wounds as he healed other people. 6 hours to do it, and he doesn't. Why doesn't he do it? Us, we are the only reason why Jesus didn't stop his suffering. He could have called angels to destroy his enemies, but he wouldn't. Angels were all around the foot of the cross. Keep that in mind. They were all around the foot of the cross, watching in horror, waiting at any minute to defend Jesus. He wouldn't let them. Let's turn to Matthew 26 and verses 51 to 53. Matthew 26 and verses 51 to 53. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached out and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish with the sword. And here's the key verse. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? One angel would have been enough to destroy Jesus' enemies. Think of it. One angel destroyed 185,000 men of the Assyrian army when they were about to invade Judah. One angel destroyed 185,000 men of the Assyrian army. I'm sure one angel could have destroyed Jesus' enemies, but not one angel was permitted to help Jesus, not one. The angels watched the scenes of the scourging and the crucifixion in horror, but they weren't permitted to help. In fiery, excruciating, unbelievable pain, Jesus wouldn't let them help. All that fiery, excruciating pain, unbelievable pain, and Jesus doesn't permit the angels to help him. Why? Us. We're the reason. We are the reason why Jesus wouldn't let the angels help. With all his great heart, Jesus wanted to be the sacrifice of our salvation, and he wouldn't let the angels help. We are the reason that he wouldn't let the angels help. Jesus chose not to use his power to destroy his enemies and heal himself because of some unimaginable infinite love for us. Could you imagine the love of Jesus for us? That in all that agony and torture that he was in, stood on the cross, having the power to come down, but his love for us stopped him. What love that we can't understand, the love of Jesus for us. It took more strength of character and determination for Jesus to restrain his power than the endurance and the determination that it took for him to suffer as he did. Think of just having the power and not using it. 6 hours he restrained himself from using the power. Try to imagine having the power to heal yourself, to stop all that agony and suffering for 6 hours, and you don't change your mind, knowing and feeling inside yourself you've got the power to stop this, and you don't. Unimaginable love of Jesus stood there so we didn't have to be in the flames of hell for eternity. How much love and loyalty, devotion, dedication, and commitment we owe to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 reads, "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross." Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. What joy? What joy could you have on the cross? What joy is there in the intense suffering and pain and agony of crucifixion? When he was on the cross, Jesus joyed in our salvation. Let's review, just a review, because we're only scratching the surface. Let's review Jesus' sufferings this morning. What about the scourging? When Jesus was scourged, he was stripped of his clothes and his hands were tied above his head to a post. So he couldn't protect any part of his body. His hands were tied to a post above his head. And these big burly Roman soldiers whipped Jesus with heavy leather straps that have pieces of lead and bone attached at the end. The leather straps would cut through the skin, And as the whipping continued, the arteries and the muscle tissue would break open and spurt copious amounts of blood. And the pieces of lead and bone of the at the end of the whip caused deep bruises. That lead and bone caused deep bruises in Jesus' skin, in his muscle tissue, in his arteries and veins. Eventually, the skin hung in long ribbons, and the entire area became a mass of unrecognizable mass of torn, bleeding tissue. And when the prisoner was near death, the beating stopped. And Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 reads, I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked out my beard. His beard was plucked out. Jesus could have stopped this suffering and healed himself, but he didn't do this. The crown of thorns had very big, sharp, piercing thorns on it that dug into Jesus' head. Don't forget, Satan was trying to destroy Jesus' mind also, but Jesus kept all his mental capacity. This intense suffering that he was so willing went through. And these big thorns, these weren't thorns that you see on the rose bush. These were big thorns. Thorns almost as big as reeds. And it was placed on Jesus' head with force so that his head was bleeding. There was blood in his hair and running down his face. His beard was pulled out. Try to imagine what that felt like. And this is what I'm saying. Jesus could have stopped all this suffering, but he doesn't do it. He wouldn't do it. Following this intense torture, this purple robe that was on him when he was in the judgment hall was ripped off of him. Now let's stop here for a minute. Jesus is bleeding all over his entire body, bleeding all over, and this purple robe was put on him. Now the blood started coagulating, so the purple robe was sticking to his wounds. And what did these soldiers do? They rip off the robe. So what is that equivalent to? When you have a Band-Aid on and you take it off gently so it doesn't hurt you. And it still hurts a bit. Imagine ripping this robe off of Jesus all at once, ripping it off of the coagulated blood. It's like having Band-Aids all over your body and ripping it off, ripping them off all at once. That's what happened to Jesus when they ripped off this robe. He had suffering at every moment. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 reads, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. What was the wounding and bruising of the crucifixion like? Well, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'll try to describe it. Jesus was crucified with heavy, wrought iron, dirty nails. And when Jesus was crucified, the cross was laid on the ground. The nails were put through Jesus' hands and his feet. And then they pick up the cross and they wham the thing into a hole in the ground. So if the pain wasn't bad and excruciating enough, because they would pull Jesus' arms out and then nail them, then put the nail through his feet, the pain was fiery and excruciating along with that. And then they wailed the thing into the ground. So his body jolted with the nails going through his hands and his feet. You know what that jolting felt like? And here's Jesus willing to accept it all, as I said, willing, being able to stop all the pain and refuses to stop all the pain because of us. Because of us. Now do you know why, from time to time, we keep hearing the message, commitment to Jesus, dedication to him, being totally fervent to him, having our all on the altar. Look what Jesus endured for us when he didn't have to. And keep in mind, the nails in his hands and his feet for 6 hours sent excruciating fiery pain from his fingers and his toes up through his arms and his legs and right into the brain. These were the same hands that created were crucified. Jesus subjected himself, being Son of God, became Son of Man, and subjected himself to the torture and agony that man was giving him. And his arms were stretched out for 6 hours, causing excruciating great cramp. Try to hold your arms out like this. If you could see my arms on the computer now, try to hold them out. See how long you last. If you don't get the pain going from your arm through your armpit and down into your side. And Jesus is hanging there 6 hours with his arms like this, causing some unbelievable cramping in his arms. Because that's what happens when your arms are stretched out for 6 hours. And when Jesus' arms were stretched out for 6 hours like this, you know what he was saying? That was a signal of him saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's what those outstretched arms were saying. I love you, I love you, I love you. And when Jesus tried to push himself upward to relieve the stretching in his arms, because the cramps were coming greatly in here, he put more pressure on the nail in his feet, which caused fiery, excruciating pain. People talk about excruciating pain. Sometimes they have pain. We don't know what excruciating pain means. Is really like, because excruciating pain is defined as pain of crucifixion. I will never use that term for pain, because excruciating pain is defined as pain of crucifixion, and we don't know what kind of pain Jesus went through. Every time Jesus tried to straighten out his body to get air into his lungs, he was grinding his brutally beaten, torn back against the dirty bark of a tree. Now his back was totally torn open from the scourging, and here he's just trying to get some air in his lungs. So he tries to straighten out his body, and in the meantime, he's grinding his back against the dirty bark of a tree. I can't imagine the pain that that caused. And think of the infection that set in and the high fevers, because I'm sure the dirt from the bark of the tree and the dirty nails got into Jesus' bloodstream and caused extreme infection. And who knows the fever he had when he was hanging on the cross. Jesus contorted in agony. When we sing in the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, on the third verse, it states, writhing, W-R-I-T-H-I-N-G, writhing in agony in anguish and pain. Writhing means to contort in agony. And Jesus could have stopped all of this, but he didn't. Why? He didn't stop all this pain and suffering because he had us in mind. Make him personal. He could have stopped all this pain and suffering, but he didn't, because he had you. He had me in mind. We sing this song, when he was on the cross, I was on his arm. We owe everything to Jesus, as we sang this morning. I owe all to you. Are we in awe of Jesus this morning? Thinking of what he suffered and knowing he could have stopped it at any second? Are we in awe of Jesus this morning? We should always be in awe of him. When he was on the cross, each one of us were on his mind. He was certainly nauseous from the pain and suffering, But due to the position he was in, he couldn't vomit. As gross as it sounds, he would have gotten relief from vomiting. He couldn't. How could you vomit when you're hanging on the cross like this? You couldn't. Are we in awe of him yet? The sac around his heart, which we call the pericardium, filled with fluid, causing a deep, crushing pain in his chest. It was like having a major heart attack when he was on the cross. He had a crushing pain in his chest. Consider the words in Psalm 22, verse 14. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. Isaiah 52, verse 14 states, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. He didn't even look human anymore. The one who created us, created humanity, didn't look human anymore. He could have stopped all this pain, this nausea and suffering, but he didn't. The second verse that we sang this morning of O Sacred Head states, what thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior. 'Tis I deserve that place. We deserve all that suffering. We deserve the price for sin, not Jesus. He had no sin, but he paid our price. He paid the price we couldn't pay. He paid the price he didn't owe, because we owe the price we couldn't pay. This is what Jesus did for us when he didn't have to. When Jesus was offered wine mixed with the gall that was an anesthetic, he refused to drink it. With all the excruciating pain and suffering, he would not take anything to relieve the pain. And picture this. We're in pain, like I said, a toothache, run to the medicine cabinet, take something to relieve the pain. All different times, kinds of pain relievers we have, you name it. The Tylenol, the Excedrin, the Aleve. We run to the medicine cabinet and take it. And here it's offered to Jesus, and he doesn't even take it. He wanted to feel all the pain, and he did. Jesus could have caused the nails to come out of his body, so let's say it like it is. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross, because he could have made them pop out. He could have come down from the cross and healed all his wounds, but he didn't. He healed many people, but he would not heal himself. The chief priests and the elders told him, come down from the cross and we will believe you. You know the kind of temptation that was? Here he is in all this agony and suffering, and the chief priests and the scribes tell him, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. And he doesn't. He stood there for us. And imagine, he saw all the angels waiting to help him. Try to imagine enduring the most awful pain when you don't have to. That's the idea this morning. He didn't have to endure all that pain. He did it for us. It wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was the amazing pity and the mind-boggling, infinite love of our Redeemer that held him to the cross. His love for us cannot be measured. It was love that held Jesus to the cross, not the nails. Jesus had the deadly pain, but we get heaven. Unknown, infinite, matchless, indescribable love of Jesus. The song he brought my soul states, there's a cross for everyone to bear. But there's a heaven for each soul to share. There's a place in heaven waiting me. I got it through his death at Calvary. Each drop of blood bought me a million years. A soul was bought each time he shed a tear. He loosed the chains that fettered you and me. He bought my soul. He bought my soul through death at Calvary. The last line of the song states, I breathe his name each time I see a tree. On one, he bought my soul at Calvary. Jesus paid the price for our salvation with excruciating, fiery, unknown suffering and agony, with his blood, with his life. Only Jesus made a way for us to escape the eternal flames of hell, the torments of hell. We owe him everything, total commitment, loyalty, and dedication. Just want to stop there for a minute. As we said, only Jesus made a way for us to escape the eternal flames and torment of hell. It's not being in hell for an hour, a week, or a month. For eternity in hell, eternal torment. And only Jesus is stopping it. Only Jesus, the only person standing between us and an eternal torture and eternal torture and agony and the flames of hell. We owe Jesus everything. We owe him a total commitment, all our loyalty, all our dedication. We owe him everything. If I can make that point clear this morning, if we're not giving everything to Jesus this morning, if we're not committing our lives and just being totally dedicated to him, having our all on the altar, being totally serious about serving him, we should be. Because he is the only person standing between us and an eternal torment and agony in hell. Eternal suffering in hell. Only the great heart of Jesus would do this for us. That great heart that pumped the blood that saves our souls. Each drop of blood bought me a million years. And we sing, there is none like you. There certainly isn't, because only Jesus would do and did this for us. He could have stopped all the stress, the brutal fiery pain, the nausea, the suffering, the intense agony and torment, but he didn't do it. Why? Us. We are the reason why he didn't come down from the cross. It wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love for us that held him to the cross. As the song states, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Make it personal. It wasn't nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was us, his love for us, that held him to the cross. It was an infinite, incomprehensible, beyond wildest imagination, indescribable, undefined love that held Jesus to the cross. We owe him everything. As we sang this morning, we owe him everything, and we should always be in total awe of Jesus for what he did for us, the price that he paid for us, and because he's the only one standing between us and an eternal torment in the flames of hell. As we said, not for a moment or a week or a month, eternal, and only Jesus is stopping it. We should be in total awe of him and totally committed and dedicated to him for the rest of our lives. So I'm going to stop over there. And we're going to want to give you a moment to prepare for the Holy Supper. Get your wine or grape juice and bread ready. give you a moment to open your containers, whatever, and get your wine and grapes, wine or grape juice, and your bread ready. So we're going to coordinate, all take the bread together, all take the wine or the grape juice together.